Night Shift on the Triple M Network.
Well, last week we had some really interesting debate about youth crime in Australia. And it would seem that most of our callers concerned about youth crime came from Queensland. Gold Coast, the Whitsundays, Rockhampton, particularly Townsville, even as far north as Cairns. I'm not saying it's specifically a Queensland problem, but judging by the feedback we got here on the Night Shift, it is a large problem along coastal Queensland. Children younger than 14 would avoid going to jail for their crimes under the proposed laws introduced by Greens MP Michael Bergman. It was introduced as a private member's bill last week, and he's trying to raise the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14. Michael Bergman is on the phone right now. Michael, good morning to you. A very warm welcome.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks for having me.
We got a lot of feedback on this. A lot of my listeners saying that raising the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14 won't work because kids as young as 10, 11, 12, 13, this is the opinion of my listeners, Michael. They're saying that these kids know exactly what they're doing. They know they're breaking the law and they continue to break the law because there are no legal consequences. Your thoughts?
Look, I guess the starting point is to just acknowledge that, yes, that there are kids who are behaving, you know, terribly and who are causing a whole lot of problems for the communities they live in. But I disagree with your listeners to the extent that we've got plenty of science, the neurodevelopmental science that tells us that kids' brains aren't fully developed at that age. So they've got parts of their brain that are, that are kind of the risk-taking parts fully developed, but those that tell them what the consequences are if their actions aren't. So they're in this awkward space where we're seeing problematic behaviours, but we can't criminalise kids like adults and expect it to work.
But they're committing adult crimes.
Well, look, I mean, committing adult crimes, that doesn't mean anything unless the criminal law says that they're a particular type of crime. So, look, early contact with the criminal system, this is one thing that's really important about this law, is that it's kind of based on the clear understanding that early contact with the criminal legal system makes it much more likely that kids are going to reoffend and that they're going to reoffend more seriously. So the starting point is a system that's not working. It's clearly not working at the moment because we've got kids this young who are, who are out on the streets at night and who remain there. They're not getting the kinds of supports that they need, the kind of therapeutic interventions that are actually going to help them kind of, straighten up their lives and make productive citizens of themselves.
Yeah, I would actually...
That's what we need to provide.
I would actually go along with that. But the other thing I would go along with as well, and that was that there is a perception that when these juvenile offenders commit a crime and are arrested, they go before a magistrate and they're let straight back out again with a slap on the wrist and they do it again. And they know they can get away with it because there are no consequences. And also, no consequences for a juvenile offender in Queensland if you break your bail conditions. What's the point of having bail?
Look, I think, again, it kind of comes back to the fact that these kids, while they might have some general understanding of when they're doing the wrong thing, the consequences, the actual consequences don't really have a material meaning for them, right? So we can tighten up, the state government's just made these new laws which allow GPS trackers to be whacked on kids. We've kind of reversed, the assumptions about bail in some circumstances. The LNP keeps banging on about the need to create offences for breach of bail, but none of that's going to change these behaviours. We actually need to identify what it is that's lacking in these kids' lives, because the honest truth of it is that kids who are offending are, there are unmet needs in their lives. Right, so they don't have a safe place to sleep at night. They don't have,
a safe home.
Safe home, somewhere to go and have a good meal, put food on their backs. And what's more, the kids who are committing more serious offences almost invariably have a history of trauma on top of those.
Okay, so I think you and I are in fierce agreement. We don't want to see children incarcerated, but we also need to have consequences for actions. But I also agree with you, we need to look even deeper, because the knee-jerk reaction, Michael, is, oh, where are these parents? Where are their parents, Some of these kids, the security guard on the Gold Coast that rang me, I was telling you about him, he said they often don't have families. Maybe they come from foster care. Maybe they're safer in their pack at night than they are at home.
Yeah, and beyond that, we know that some kids, when they've offended and they've gone into youth detention, they find themselves kind of thrown back out into the real world after that, and they genuinely feel safer in detention because they're not getting the things they need. So kids are deliberately reoffending in some instances.
To go back inside.
So they get a roof over their head, you know, 3 square meals a day. In fact, what we need to do is find ways, without putting them in youth detention, without incarcerating kids, to meet those needs. Because on the one hand, they're going to want that stability, the predictability, but equally, that is going to make them into, and I'm using air quotes here, better offenders. It teaches them how to be better criminals by you know, spending more time with other people who have offended.
Yeah, you go inside, you come out a better criminal. I'm talking with Greens MP in Queensland, Michael Berkman, who last week introduced a private members bill to raise the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14. We had a lot of talk about this last week, didn't we? Michael, bullet point your solutions.
Look, the simple answer here is that we need to focus on the needs of the kids, right? So I guess the response depends on the severity of the behaviour. So, you know, low-level offending, we're talking about prevention and early intervention. So providing social services, basic stuff like healthcare, housing, you know, investment in school programs to get kids at school. When there's kind of, you know, more low-level antisocial behaviour that requires more intervention, we need to focus on therapeutic treatment, you know, the kinds of services that do focus on the specific needs of that child, restorative justice programs that already exist. They just need to be better funded and more widely available. And when we're dealing with, you know, the rare instances of serious harmful behaviour, because it is very rare amongst kids at this age, you know, any kind of behaviour that actually creates a real risk of harm to people, we need to focus on you know, specialised wraparound services to actually address that trauma I mentioned before.
Okay, but in the Fair Income Department, and I'm not sensationalising this, I'm asking you, if a group of kids aged between 10 and 14 broke into your house at 2 o'clock in the morning, where you and your family were sleeping, and attempted to steal your car keys and steal your car, what repercussions would you expect?
Well, Luke, it's happened to me. I've experienced.
Tell me about it. And,
well, it was earlier this year. I woke up to the sound of someone walking down the front steps. And half asleep, I woke up. I walked out the front, and I could see that the car was on, like the reverse lights were on. And you know, again, maybe this was not the wisest move, but I went down to the car and just opened the door, and it was a child. Like, I don't know exactly how old this kid was, but as soon as I opened the door, he was terrified. He was absolutely terrified. And he couldn't do anything more than just repeat, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And look, I'd have to guess at the age, but I reckon 11 or 12.
Jesus. And he broken into your home and stolen your car keys.
Yeah, that's right.
And then got in your car and was attempting to steal it, and you caught him.
Yeah, that's right. And like, I can't feel anything but you know, empathy and sorry for this kid. You know, he actually, you know, he needs somewhere safe to be. You know, he needs people that care about him and want to know where he is at that time of night. But that's not, you know, I suspect. And what I wanted to see and what I was really hoping for was to go ahead with some restorative justice conferencing, which was in train. It didn't go ahead for reasons that I'm not entirely clear on at this point. But
wow.
But those are the sorts of interventions that we need to see. We need to see them available in every instance of youth crime. And that would happen if we knew that these criminal, that youth detention was off the table.
Tell me, this kid that was attempting to steal your car, maybe 10 or 11, what happened? What did you do?
Oh, look, I mean, I opened the door. He tried to reverse away. I jumped in, put my foot on the brake, and you know, he jumped out the passenger side door and ran away.
Oh, you didn't apprehend him?
No, I didn't.
But your immediate response was to feel empathy for this kid. A lot of people at that time of night with the adrenaline pumping would have wanted to throttle him.
Look, there's no doubt. I had, you know, by the time he'd run away, my heart rate was up, and it was a pretty confronting experience. But, you know, he's a kid. He was a child. I mean, if you could put yourself in my shoes, I'm looking at a really slight young man who, as I said, was terrified. You know, and this is where we kind of really boil down to the stage of development that these kids are at. You know, he doesn't understand, you know, real cause and effect, and risk taking behavior is just, you know, it's, you know, it's kind of built into kids at this age.
Here's the question I reckon we need to ask, or one of the questions. Does a 10-year-old know when they're committing a crime?
Well, yeah, look, I have no doubt that he knew on that occasion that he was. But the point is, like, you know, we can't change the decision-making that led to that point, but we can change the decision-making after that point, right? We can provide, you know, provide the things that will, A, stop him from being out walking around the streets of Barton at that time of night, and, you know, and start kind of addressing the underlying causes. You know, I don't know his background, but I feel for this kid. I really do.
Yeah, I can tell. All right, Michael, fascinating to talk to you. Let's open it up for discussion again. You've introduced the private members bill. Any success?
Oh, look, it's still got to go through the whole process. So there's a long way to go yet. It's only just been introduced and referred to the committee for an inquiry. So I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to, you know, to take this committee inquiry out into the regions to talk to those folks in Townsville, in Mount Isa, in, you know, those regional centres where it really is a hot button issue, because I don't think we can hope to kind of make progress on this issue if we're not prepared to have a frank conversation
sure.
about
hey, Michael, you know, can, issues. Can you and I stay in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
No worries, Luke. Thanks.
Well, there you go. He's had a child break into his home and attempt to steal his car. Greens MP Michael Berkman from Queensland. It's a fascinating story. What are your thoughts? 133353 is the telephone number. Should offences committed before a child's 14, should they be expunged from their criminal history, fingerprints, DNA samples destroyed, and should the age of criminal responsibility be risen from 10 to 14? Greens MP Michael Berkman. This is The Night Shift on Triple M.